You're listening to the Racing Roundup with Bobby Beavers and Jim McGrath.
Yes, very good evening to everybody. Welcome to the Bobby Beavers Racing Roundup alongside Jim McGrath. We've got a really good show for you again this evening, looking ahead to the weekend's action, also looking about the action tomorrow as well at Chester. Plus, we'll be hearing from William Haggis, Ian Williams, David Allen, Richard Fahey and Carl Bird. This is the Bobby Beavers Racing Roundup alongside Jim McGrath.
Bobby Beavers and Jim McGrath on Proper Sport.
Yes, very good evening to the show. Great to have your company this evening once again for the Bobby Beavers Racing Roundup alongside Jim McGrath. A delighted Jim McGrath as well after last night's result, Jim, at Stamford Bridge.
What amazing scenes, what a team. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. I could hardly sleep, I was so excited. It was a really tremendous game. But, you know, we've got to put that behind us. The first question I want to know, you horrified most of the south of England last weekend. Have you got any socks on today? He came to Newmarket for the 2,000 guineas without any socks on. Can you, Adam and Eve, it?
Keep it up to date with fashion. But yes, I have got socks on as well. I've got socks on this week. Yes, I was going for the no socks look, which is it all in at this moment in time. I didn't know you were going to say that. You chucked that one in. I like that. That's thrown me up as a slide, but it's a great listen for the listeners. Right then, yesterday, myself and Jim, we was at Chester for day one of the Chester Cup meeting, and we saw Young Rascal win the Chester Varsa trainer William Haggis. And after the race, I was very lucky enough to speak to him, and the first question I asked him was the fact that he's come on clearly after his win at Newbury.
Yeah, he's coming on. He's going in the right direction. It's good.
And was the plan always to get a trial in before he went to the Derby?
Yes, and it was always to come here, really, because there are only two Derby trials that are over a mile and a half. This one and the one at Lingfield. And I wanted to come here because the crowd's on both sides of the track, and I think that's helpful for Epsom.
The thing is with Chester as well, it's one of those sorts of courses where the horses either like it or they don't. In this case, your lad liked it.
Well, he won, so presumably he liked it, but he'd have learnt a lot again today.
Next stop, the Derby then for him now?
Absolutely.
You're listening to the Racing Roundup with Bobby Beavers and Jim McGrath.
So that was William Haggis speaking to me yesterday after Young Rascal won the Chester Varsa. Jim, in your opinion, is he a leading candidate for this year's at Derby?
Yeah, I think he has to be. I like him a lot. He, for a horse that stays the distance really well, which he did, he's got a turn of foot. He looked to have a very relaxed demeanour in the paddock. You and I were, you know, spent some time in the preliminaries looking at him. I also saw him at Newbury, where he behaved well too. The only thing you don't know about him is if he would cope with fast ground, but I suppose you'll find that out to an extent at Epsom. He looks as though he's got all the credentials to run a nice race at Epsom. Whether he's up to the level of Saxon Warrior, mm-hmm. who still has to prove his stamina, but that seems more likely than unlikely, is another matter. But he's a nice horse and he should run well.
He's got to take up a gear again, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, what he did yesterday would probably be good enough to, in a normal year, finish about fourth at Epsom, but that was only the third race of his life, and I think there is more to come from him. And if he could find another £7, he's going to run a mighty race. But of course, it's been, you know, it's that time of year, Bob, with the classic trials coming thick and fast. Mm-hmm. We had another one today. You and I have been preparing for the show, but we watched it on the screens this afternoon. And Rostropovich for mm-hmm. Aidan O'Brien was another impressive winner. And he is apparently more likely to go for the French Derby, despite the fact that he won really well. The bookmakers left him at 21 for the Epsom Derby. At this stage, as you and I sit here, mm-hmm. still 135 horses left in the Derby, and Aidan O'Brien has 26 of them. So he's still sifting through his plans.
Yeah, he certainly is indeed. Now, of course, tomorrow it all changed with the Chester Cup meeting, because normally the Chester Cup is run on a Wednesday. That's all changed now. It's now going to be run on the Friday. So it will be run, should I say, tomorrow afternoon on the Rudy. And one horse in particular that is prominence in the market is Magic Circle. And yesterday I caught up with his trainer, Ian Williams. Now, bear in mind, it's going to be the first run for Ian Williams tomorrow as well. First question I asked him was, how has he been over the winter?
Yeah, we've been pleased with him. He had a good winter. He's gone through his work well this spring, and we're very happy with him coming into the race.
And you previously won the race as well 10 years ago with Bulwark, so you know how to get him ready for a Chester Cup.
Yeah, it's been a completely different preparation this time. I think Bulwark's preparation was a 3-mile hurdle at Aintree, in which he pulled up. So he came here as a 33-1 shot. But this fella ran well last year from a bad draw. He's got a better draw this year. He wants some juice in the ground. Hopefully there'll be some rain between now and the race. So, yeah, we couldn't be happier.
And also for an owner as well, Dr. Marwan Kukash, who absolutely loves it here at Chester. And if Magic Circle was to win on Friday, it'd be his fourth win.
Yeah, fourth win. We were fortunate enough to train his first one, which was Bulwark, and it'd be nice to train his fourth one.
Bobby Beaver's Racing Roundup with Jim McGrath.
Yes, trainer Ian Williams, previous winner of the Chester Cup 10 years ago, back in 2008 with Bulwark. Now, Jim, looking ahead to tomorrow with the Chester Cup, it's an iconic handicap, first run back in 1824. Maximum field tomorrow, always 17 runners allowed to run in this field, and 11 Northern Trained horses make up the field.
Yeah, it's a really competitive renewal, Bobby. I don't think there's what we call a standout, by the way. It's one where the handicapper's got his sums wrong. Mm-hmm. We've got five horses that ran last year, from the third down to the tenth. Fun Mac, Who Dares Wins, Magic Circle, Waters Meet and Nikita. We've also got Silver Concord, who was third 2 years ago, but he's a bit of an old boy now. And the North have got a strong hand tomorrow. Mm-hmm. As you said, 11 of the 17 are trained in the North. Time to study for Mark Johnson. I think he'll run very well. He ran at Ascot in the Sagaro last week, which is a Group 2 race, and the handicapper was impressed with his second there. He's put him up £3. So because the weights for this race came out before he did that, mm-hmm. in theory he's got a little bit up his sleeve. Whether that materialises remains to be seen, but I think he's got a nice draw and he's sure to run well. Dubawi 50, Stargazer, My Reward, Grandee, they're all horses you could give a chance to. Likewise Dubai 50.
Yeah, very much agree with you there. Now, further down at the market, we do have My Reward.
Yeah, just mentioned him, Bob, yeah.
Yeah, trained by Tim Easterby. David Allen is the man in the saddle. I caught up with David also at Chester yesterday, who said he was pleased with his reappearance at Ripon.
Yeah, probably a little bit better than we expected. We thought he'd maybe need the run, but he jumped out his customary running style, jumped out in front, and he actually ran a real good race and took a blow, so we're hoping for a big run.
The big question with him, Dave, you know, the doubt really is the trip. What are your thoughts about the trip?
Personally, it's too far for him. But if I get it easy in front, you know, he does relax well and he will completely switch off. I mean, he'd go a trot round here if you'd let him. So if I do get it easy in front, obviously I might be able to just get that little couple of furlongs out of him. But it's not always easy around Chester, but he does come out the gates like a sprinter, so it does give me a chance to get to the front and hopefully stack them up at some point.
I think the advantage you've got with your lad as well, Dave, My Reward, is the fact that he's got that course form, so you know he enjoys it round here.
Yeah, well, it was the same that day, you know, he jumped out in front, dictated it, and he has a good turn of foot when he's under pressure, you know, he really digs in then, so he does save himself. So it'll give him a chance to get the trip, but ultimately I think it's just stretching him a little bit.
Bit of rain between now and then, you know, that won't really bother him, will it?
No, he's versatile that way, he doesn't worry about things like that.
This is Bobby Beaver's Racing Roundup on Proper Sport.
Interesting there, Jim, what David had to say, because he's, in his honest opinion, he thinks that the trip is too far for him, he thinks it'll stretch him, but he did kind of back up with what he was saying afterwards.
Yeah, what he's hoping is he can jump out and get what we call a soft lead-in race, where he doesn't have to go flat out, he can control the race. And at Chester, when that happens, you get everything in behind you, pulling, there's loads of screaming, shouting and swearing from the jockeys in behind because they're trying to stop their horses clipping heels, etc, etc. But I don't think that's the type of race we'll get tomorrow. I think there's enough horses that like to stride along to make sure it won't be a crawl, and it will put the premium on stamina, and that may well scupper My Reward's chances. But he's he's a grand little horse, and when you know you've got course form, you have to respect them. But I just think, like David, the distance might be too far for him. So it's a hard race. I'm not saying I've had fortunes on anything here, but I'm going to have a little bit on time to study, and I do like Dubai 50. I'm just slightly worried the ground might not be ideal for it's perfect ground, but he might want it a little bit softer. But he's an interesting horse, and he was fourth in the Cesaro, which Ryan Moore's staying up there because Aidan O'Brien's got another runner tomorrow, but principally to ride Who Dares Wins as well. Sorry, the second reason is to ride Who Dares Wins for Alan King. It's a very interesting jockey booking, that. But he couldn't win last year off 92, a mark of 92, and he's off 100 this time. So despite the fact that Ryan's on board, I think he might just have too much weight. Time to study for Mark Johnson, and Dubai 50 would be my two against the field.
Two against this 17-runner field there for Jim. Now, also tomorrow on the Rudy, it is the Huxley Stakes as well. Richard Fahey, duly represented with Forage Ranger and Gabriel as well. Now, yesterday, again, everything with yesterday, because myself and Jim was at Chester. I caught up with Richard Fahey also. I asked him about Forage Ranger and asked him that question, will he handle Chester?
Look, I mean, it's one of them things. Big horses do gallop around Chester, but I'm afraid you don't know until you actually give it a go. I mean, he's a horse that travels well, so you'd imagine it should suit him, but as I've said earlier there, you don't know until you try, so, but I'm hoping he does, you know.
Goes back up in trip as well, Richard. Should that be pretty straightforward for him?
He still has to convince me that he'll stay. It's one mile, 2.5 furlongs, and they generally go a good gallop. So you've got to get home here. I know it's a sharp track to look at, but they've got to get the trip. So it will test him, but look, we're very happy with the horse. A Group 3 winner last time. So look, he's worth taking his chance. I'm sure he has a chance, you know.
Running last year, St James's Palace Stakes at the Royal Meet. And would you like to see him at Royal Ascot this year as well?
No, I won't put him in at Ascot at all now. We'll see what happens here, and then we'll make future plans for him. But he didn't get an entry at Ascot, so I'm sure there's plenty of other races, which there is. I know there is, but as I say, we'll see how we get on here to where we go.
I'd say you are duly representing the Huxley Stakes as well. You've also got Gabriel. How will he handle the trip, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he's been placed in the Huxley, I think, twice. He's only run it a few times, but there's only a few runners. I think he's been third and fourth in it, so he does actually stay the trip. It's just whether he's good enough, and the form says he's not. But you get strange results in races sometimes, and this hopefully we might get a strange result and old Gabriel gets his day in the sun, you know.
And the rain is forecast here at Chester. We don't know how much is due, but the rain is forecast. That'd definitely help with his aid, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the slower the ground, the better for Gabriel. It might inconvenience more than it inconvenience him, but look, as I say, he's running the Huxley a couple of times. He's been placed a couple of times, but he's not getting any younger, and he needs to find improvement to win.
This is Bobby Beaver's Racing Roundup on Proper Sport.
Richard Fahey there speaking to me about his runners tomorrow in the Huxley Stakes. So, Jim, what's your thoughts about Forest Ranger? Do you think he'll handle Chester okay?
Yeah, I think Richard made a good point. If a horse... he is a big horse. It was the right question to ask, because some horses don't... If they're sort of lazy runners, do you know what I mean, Bob? You've got to push them.
Yes.
And they're a big horse, because you're turning virtually the whole time at Chester. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make them easy to ride. And if they're not easy to ride, he can't hold a position. And the jockeys will tell you there's nothing worse than scrubbing the head off one round there, especially if you're hemmed in, because you can't get any impetus or forward momentum. It's difficult. But I think this horse will cope, and he won like an improved horse on his reappearance. Richard's always thought a lot of him. Richard's got so many horses, I think his memory's gone a little bit as regards Gabriel. Gabriel's been to Chester more times than you, Bobby. Tomorrow, it's his seventh Chester Festival. He won as a two-year-old.
Yep.
He was very unluckily beaten under Jamie Spencer in the 7 furlong handicap the following year. Mm-hmm. And then in four of the last five renewals of the Huxley Stakes, he's taken part. He's been third once and fourth three times. So he's a bit of a stalwart. But again, I agree with the intonation in your question there to Richard. Richard said he's run well in it. Well, he has run well to a point, but this horse is best in a really fast mile race, coming through late. He's a legend. He more or less does his own thing, and if you give him the right circumstances, he can still win good races. But when you think he was running against the likes of Frankel 4 or 5 years ago, he's done wonderfully well. He's a real character, very popular at the stable as well. And we've slightly concentrated on Richard's horses. This is a good race in its own right tomorrow. They've have increased the prize money and they've got an excellent field. And the lineup includes Eminent. Now, he's trained by Martin Mead. Do you remember him?
Yes.
Okay. Well, he won first time out as a two-year-old.
Yep.
First time out was last year in the Craven Stakes. Mm-hmm. Then ran well in the Guineas, ran well in the Derby, argue a little bit unlucky. Won under Ryan Moore in France, makes his reappearance tomorrow. I don't think that'll bother him that he's the only one that hasn't had a run this season because, as I say, he's won first time out the last two. So he goes well fresh. He can stride along in front. He's a big horse as well, mm-hmm. But he's a horse with a good cruising speed. He's a short price, but I think he'll win. He's got a good draw too.
Yeah, great stuff there. The thoughts of it, Jim, on it tomorrow's at Huxley Stakes. And great to speak, of course, to Richard Farhey about the Huxley Stakes tomorrow. Also, as you say, duly represented in the race. Right, Jim, Saturday, we are spoilt for choice. There's so much good racing up and down the country. There's some classic trials to enjoy. Also on Saturday as well, I believe they're at Lingfield.
Yeah, the two traditional trials at Lingfield open the card at the weekend, Bob, and Lingfield. And I don't suppose with your northern base. I mean, all my life I had to work on the road for Timeform till a few years ago. So I've been to Lingfield umpteen times. Have you ever been?
Never been to Lingfield.
You've been to Epsom. It's very similar to Epsom. It's what we call a switchback track. Mm-hmm. And horses that act well at Lingfield generally act well at Epsom. They don't run many races on the turf there now at Lingfield. It's usually on the all-weather on the inside. But these traditional races still take place on turf, and they're still pretty good clues. Usually the horses that win them tend to run well in the big races at Epsom, even if they're not quite the trials that they once were. And in the fillies race at 155, there's a field of nine, six of which are entered in the Oaks itself at Epsom. Generally, they're lightly raced animals. A week ago, when we were down at the Guineas, Aidan mm-hmm. O'Brien, you know, he sent over Saxon Warrior, and that was the headline horse. But at Cork, in Ireland, he ran a filly called Flattering, and she broke her maiden by 10 lengths, Bobby. Now, she runs in this. She's quickly to Lingfield, having done that so impressively, and Ryan Moore rides her. What's the catch? Well, last week, the ground at Cork was an absolute bog. It's good to firm at Lingfield this weekend, which is very different. And there's some lightly raced fillies in amongst them. John Gosden runs Stream Song. Who reads like she might be a little bit of a cow. She kicks and she doesn't want to go to the start, but she can run, and she won at Windsor last time. She's a half-sister of a good filly called Journey that some of the listeners will remember. And one of my horses to follow, Lady of Shalott, trained by Dave Simcock. She won her only start at two. I'll be interested to see how she gets on. It's not a race, to, as far as I'm concerned, to have a bet in. I don't think there's a real form horse. It's watch, wait and see. Maybe we'll get another filly ready for the Oaks. 60 left in the Oaks. Mm-hmm. 60. Aidan O'Brien is 23 of them.
Great stuff. It'd be interesting to see what Aidan turns, what turns up from Ballydoyle, won't it, in a few weeks' time at Epsom? Because as you say, there's multiple entries there, and obviously he wants to take the best because he wants to keep winning Oaks and Derbies along the way.
Well, Bob, if you think about it logically, you know, we know all the big name trainers. You think of Richard Fahey, Mark Johnson, etc., etc., of the north. But if we go south to where a lot of the best bloodstock goes, you've got John Gosden, Sir Michael Stout, etc., etc., they might have three or four horses that they consider Derby candidates, maybe even four or five. Hmm. As I said to you a moment or two ago, Aidan O'Brien's got 26 in the Derby as we sit here, and 23 in the Oaks. And he put those 23, the Oaks only closed in April, the Derby closed a lot earlier than that. Hmm. So they only had to make the decision a few weeks ago, and he said, oh, I'll put 23 and I might have 23 that are on the fringe of Classic Glory. So as you say, he uses this time of year to sort them out almost in public.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be interesting to see what actually it turns up from Ballydoyle also as well. Jim, it's the Classic Derby trial as well on Saturday at Lingfield. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I think this is maybe there's a bit more exposed form here because Aidan runs Kew Gardens, mm-hmm. who was a good winner over a mile and a quarter at Newmarket last season. Looked and ran as though he needed his reappearance. The track should suit him. The opposition against him maybe not the strongest, though there is a northern challenger here, Bob. Carl Burke sends down Wax and Wayne, who won two races last year. He's a decent horse in his own right, but that's quite a big step up for him. But I know you caught up with Carl earlier today, didn't you?
I certainly did, Jim, and it was interesting what he had to say. I spoke to Carl about Lauren's last Sunday in the 1,000 Guineas, and he spoke to me as well about what the plan is for her for the next couple of races and potentially the season as well. First off, though, when I spoke to Carl Burke, I asked him about her fantastic performance in the 1,000 Guineas on ground that wouldn't necessarily suit.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's obviously we were delighted to finish second in the Guineas, but a little bit galling that after the winter we had to miss out on perfect ground by 24 or 48 hours. But that's the way it is, and you know, we ran a fantastic race.
And going forward as well, Carl, I can see she's got an entry for the Irish 1,000 Guineas, but she's also got an entry too for the French Oaks. At the moment in time, what are you thinking?
Well, it has always been our main objective. We always said was the French Oaks. She's French bred for a start. The trip of mile and a quarter should be perfect. You know, there's a lot of stamina on the dam side, but obviously at this stage you keep all options open. And we will keep our option open for the Irish Guineas, which is in 2 weeks Sunday, I think. And we'll leave that decision right to the last minute. But, you know, if you put the gun to my head, I'd say it's sort of 70-30, 80-20 that we'll be going to France.
And afterwards as well, Carl, is there a plan in place for the rest of the season?
Yeah, well, I mean, the step up to a mile and a quarter, as we said, we think that will suit. And that will tell us then, you know, presuming she runs well there over 10 furlongs, whether we'll know then whether we're stepping up another 2 furlongs to the mile and a half races or staying at mile two, or even, you know, we could be wrong and we could be dropping back to a mile. But, you know, my gut feeling is she's going to be a sort of mile and a quarter up to a mile and a half, or she's got an arc entry as well. You know, there's a stack of races there that we can aim for in the autumn, and you know, that French Oaks will tell us where we're going.
I know it's a long way off at the moment, and I'm sure you'll have plenty of conversations with connections. But just in August for the Ebo Festival at York, you've got like the Judmont International a mile and a quarter. You've got the Yorkshire Oaks as well, a mile and a half. Any of those races potentially on the radar?
Both of them, yeah, both of them. I mean, certainly the Yorkshire Oaks. But as I say, that's why we'd probably be leaning towards stepping her up now to a mile and a quarter, which will then tell us those options. You know, if that, you know, she runs at a mile and a quarter and it looks like she'll stay a mile and a half, the Yorkshire Oaks is the perfect race for her.
Brilliant stuff. Well, Carl, thank you very much for your time, and absolutely fantastic to see Lauren's run an absolute cracker on Sunday in the 1,000 Guineas.
Thanks very much, Bobby.
Bobby Beavers and Jim McGrath on Proper Sport.
Carl Burke talking to me earlier on about Lawrence's second in the 1,000 Guineas and potentially where she could turn up in the next few weeks or so. Interesting though, Jim, what he had to say. He was quite keen there on the Yorkshire Oaks, which is obviously run at York, at the Ebor Festival. She's even got an arc entry as well.
Yeah, the arc seems a long way off, and it's obviously a very tough race for fillies to win. Sorry, I don't know why I've said that, because plenty of fillies have won it. A very tough race for a filly that starts off the season in the 1,000 Guineas to win. Mm-hmm. You need a proper stayer at the trip to win that, as an Able showed last year. So for her to end up in the arc, having started off the season in the 1,000 Guineas, would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think that's a long way off yet. Let's get the reason why I think Carl, who are we to judge, is doing exactly the right thing, is because clearly a mile is a minimum for her. Mm-hmm. But if you go straight to a mile and a half and she doesn't get it, you sort of kick yourself, when you did have an option fairly soon after the 1,000 of going a mile and a quarter in the Prix de Diane, what we call the French Oaks. It's just over, it's about 10 and a half furlongs. So, A, she'll have a good chance of winning that. B, it should tell more out of the trip. And if she comes and wins it well, then you can step up to a mile and a half for Yorkshire Oaks and Arcs later. But she's a fine big filly, and she did run very well last week.
Yeah, I thought she ran a cracker. And let's be honest as well, on ground, as I said to him, would it necessarily suit?
Yeah, he said that, and she, being a big, heavy filly, and she'd shown she handled her knees in the ground, I suppose he'd know much better than us. But, you know, it's not as if her two-year-old form had been in bogs, had just been a little bit of cut in the ground, and that wasn't there last weekend. Mm-hmm. And it, I suppose it was a case of, not only would it have, he knew she would have gone on it, he also knew that maybe one or two others might not have been suited to it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where she does run throughout the rest of the season. Right then, Jim, they're also racing at Ascot on Saturday. Of course, it's the 2018 renewal of the Victoria Cup. What do you make to this year's runners?
Hey, you love me getting stuck into this. There's 29 runners in this box.
All 29, Jim.
All
29. All 29.
We have time to go through. Well, there's 9 trained in the north,
yeah.
Which, you know, we try and focus a little bit on the horses from around here if we can. And they include some good animals. Firmament, Escobar, another of my horses to follow.
Yeah.
David O'Mara, but maybe jockey booking suggests that Escobar might need his reappearance because he hasn't had a run yet, and Danny Todd Hope prefers Firmament. There's Get Knotted of Michael Dodds, who's a good second to Haydock first time out this year. Kinren of David Barons, who finished third in the Spring Mile when we were there at Doncaster.
Mm-hmm.
Conditions, his form so far is on really soft ground. I don't think conditions will be the same at Ascot this weekend, but I suppose given the value of the race, he's got to take his chance and the connections will find out. In the end, I've gone for one of the less exposed horses or least exposed horses in the lineup. It's trained by John Gosden. It's traded around 12-14 to 1. It's called Pouvoir Magique, number 23, and in a very hard race, I suggest a little bit each way on that. It's a horse that was disappointed, Bobby, until they did what to it? He was a naughty boy, so they gelded him. And since they gelded him, he started to run properly. He was quite well regarded at one stage last year, and maybe now, off an ordinary looking handicap mark, he can take advantage.
Around about 10-1 with the bookmakers, he is for the Victoria Cup. I was just having a look there, just having a look at the odds. He's round about the 10-1.
He wasn't this afternoon, Bobby.
So you've got a bigger price, I like it.
Yeah, but let's be quite clear. Let's not get smug. It's a 29 runner handicap.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a good thing. It's a horse with, I think, is interesting and has a chance in a hard race.
Yeah, very much agree with you there. Right then, Jim, it's time to put you on the spot again. What are your tips for this week?
Well, we unusually for us, we did a preview for Friday because it includes the Chester Cup and it includes the Huxley Stakes, which are good races in their own right. The fact that they're on Friday is irrelevant. I mean, I'm pretty sure if the race pans out as I see it, Eminent will win tomorrow, but he's not my sort of price. He's 5-6. So in the belief that Barsanti won't be as short as that, he runs in the 250 at Ascot on Saturday. I'm interested in him. Apparently he's been working really well. And as I say, I haven't just stuck a pin in. I've had a little bit on Pouvoir Magique, and I think there's the potential there for him to run a good race.
Absolutely brilliant. Well, Jim, always a pleasure to be working alongside you here on this Thursday evening. I'm really excited about next week because as people who've been tuning in, they've been watching, they've been listening over the past few weeks, we've been to Newmarket, we've come live from Aintree, etc, etc. And where are we next week, Jim?
Bobby, we are at York. We're live from York, and you know there's a dress code at York, Bobby, don't you? The socks will be on, Bobby. And you know, you're being warned in advance, Bobby.
Yes.
That there's already been a piece in the paper circulated to all people going to Ascot. Gentlemen must wear socks.
Yeah, and I'm perfectly aware, and I'll be wearing socks next week as well. Ah, brilliant. Right then, as always, thank you very much for tuning in to the Bobby Beavers Racing Roundup alongside Jim McGraw. I hope you've enjoyed the show just as much as myself and Jim have along the way as well. Thank you, of course, to all our guests for joining us this week. William Haggis, Ian Williams, David Allen, Richard Fahey and Carl Burke as well. As Jim just said, next Thursday we are live from York. We're back at York on the Knavesmire for the Dante Festival. Of course, the Thursday is the Dante itself. So very much looking forward to returning to the Knavesmire for another cracking season of racing in North Yorkshire. Right then, for myself and from Jim, I've got my socks on. Jim's got his socks on as well. I wish you all a very good evening. Thank you.